Hello and welcome to Artists Soar. This is a podcast for artists by three artists. We discuss all aspects of being artists, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The goal of each podcast is to provide solutions so artists can focus on their creativity and soar above. I'm Rachel Harshenko.
Jules McCullough.
Stephanie Weaver.
Hello and welcome back, guys. I feel like we've been gone for a while, and we are actually recording in person in our studio here at Low Mill in Huntsville, Alabama, from Studio 120, which is Julie's studio down here. She's got all her artwork up. And our topic today is going to be, why do we as women not talk about anything?
Even though we talk a ton.
Exactly.
So this kind of podcast, I was prompted by this. I was listening to The Inspired Painter with Jessica Lieber. If you haven't checked out her podcast, I'd really, really recommend it. I was on one of her episodes a while ago. She's just so uplifting. One of her most popular things that she talks about is manifesting, and you know, I correlate that to goal setting. So anyway, she was interviewing a performing artist where they were talking about the performing artist actually created a one-woman comedic show from her greatest pain, which was her journey with infertility. And so what was interesting to me about that was she was talking about this problem, you know, the conception and being able to conceive children and stuff. And it's not something that at that time, or even probably even now, we even talk about much at all about any of that. And so that kind of got me thinking, like, what all do we not talk about? I know as much as we talk, we don't really talk, right?
Yeah,
right.
And I think that's true.
And you were saying, Julie just got back from Spain. I feel like we need to like have a bell for her from all the places that she's been, but from an art retreat.
Yes.
And you said you guys started talking about this very subject.
Yeah, we talked about how we don't talk about anything. Like, we don't fully open up. And, you know, we start, just take hormones as an example.
Oh, yeah.
All the hormones women go through, mm-hmm. and how we don't talk about the different stages that we go through, and how many people don't really know anything about menopause, because a couple of us are either there or premenopausal. And we start talking about all the things that women don't talk about.
Right.
And that's what kind of prompted me when Stephanie was talking about this too, is there's so many things that we don't talk about and truly share as artists. Like and it's gotten worse, I think, with social media, because what you see on social media is the quote unquote pretty side of
the edited view.
Right. The edited view. I like that, Rachel. Of art. Mm-hmm. And I think as women, for as much as we talk, we're not really talking. Mm-hmm. We're not really being honest with ourselves or others, I think.
Well, I thought it was, you just kind of triggered something for me. So it was probably what, a month, maybe 2 months ago, three, mm-hmm. four, I don't know. But I came into the studio and I was just an angry, hot mess. And I was talking with Julie about it, and I just like busted down crying. Like, I felt like unworthy. I felt like I didn't belong. I felt like everything was, I wasn't worthy. I was completely worthless. Mm-hmm. And I, on the outside looking in, it didn't make any sense because I even saw that too. It's like the way that I'm feeling now is not logical, because if I put everything out on paper, if I've actually listed everything, you know, I've got a great husband, I've got great kids, everything looks great. So why in the frick am I feeling this way? And then Julie, she's, I think Julie's like, how old are you? and we started kind of piecing it together that maybe it might be my hormones.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, thank God, I can actually go to the doctor and figure out what's actually wrong, because I thought it was a mental thing. Right. But this is something that I didn't want to talk to anybody about, mm-hmm. because it felt incredibly selfish for me to think like this. And because everything is good, you know, at the jaw. And had I not like just busted down crying,
right,
I wouldn't have been on a much better headspace right now.
Yeah. And like I told someone recently too, is like, I'm not here to hide anything. I don't care if you know I'm in menopause. Like, it's a part of life. Mm-hmm. And we need to start talking about these things. We need to start talking about all the things that we as women and we as artists go through, because all these things influence our art, for one. And two, why are we hiding it when it's just nature? Like, there's nothing we can do about it.
Well, we had kind of talked about it a little bit before we hit record. And I think it's because it reveals weakness in ourselves.
It's a weakness. We feel like a failure because we're not strong.
And we'll talk about like, ooh, I'm having a hot flash. Ooh, this, you know, like, and like you kind of like had a little fall apart. Like, we're good at just like all of a sudden our emotions just are getting the best of us, but we don't dig deep down.
Yeah.
Right. And I think too, Stephanie, you know, I wasn't willing to hide anything of my story, because that's the problem with the world, I think, is that we don't reveal our true story. And so you just happened to break down at a moment in front of someone that wasn't going to hide it. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. like, oh, I've been exactly there. But I think another problem is we feel guilty.
Yeah.
Like you said, you felt guilty because you have a wonderful life, but it's chemicals in our brain. It's hormones in our body. There's all these things that we can't control that we think we should be able to control. And I think we as artists need to start talking about that too, as, you know, artist subjective, we can't, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? We can't control how people receive or look at our art. Mm-hmm. So negative comments or feeling guilty about having completed something shouldn't even be there.
Right.
You know?
Well, and I love it. I'm looking at, you know, we share a studio with Jennifer Redstreet, and she has a feature of herself going through, because she, you know, it's her story to tell, but she's, you know, gone through a lot herself mentally and physically, health wise.
Right.
And she put it all on. She painted it. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, do we see that pain that comes through in people's artwork, or do we put that pain on our art, or do we dress it up? Do we edit it?
That's a good question.
Or wait until that deep, dark moment passes and then go back to our art.
I think it depends on where you are with what you're going through. Mm. Because I know when I did In the Light series of photography, composite photography, I wasn't willing to share what I had been through.
Right.
But now, if I was to do that again, I don't think I would care that much.
Mm. Because you were living it at the time, and now you're, you know, retrospective.
Yeah. Well, and also I've just hit this stage in this thought process of, I really don't care what you think. Like, this is my life. It's my story. Right. It's what I felt and saw, or what I feel and see. Like, you know, we all have different perspectives, and we can all go through the exact same thing robotically, but we will all have a different reaction. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like my husband and I were talking yesterday about, you know, he saw an email from a coach that didn't seem that clear. I saw the same email and I'm like, it's perfect. Like, I don't understand what you don't understand. Same exact words, same exact email, both copied on it. And we both had two interpretations. Mm. Also happened the exact same, exact same coach when I was gone. And so Lauren ended up missing an appointment because they interpreted the email completely different than I did. And my interpretation ended up being right. Mm-hmm. But I think that's part of it too, is like, you know, we all interpret things differently, and we have to be accepting of how everyone else sees things.
It's the point of view.
It's right. Like, it's perspective.
Because like, if you see an accident or something happens and there's like five people who saw it, you're going to get five different
right. It's like angles. The telephone game in kindergarten, you know?
Exactly. But I think that also, because of the perspective, is makes it even harder to talk about. So when I was kind of going through my little emotional,
right,
you know, turmoil type thing, I'll expand on that in a minute. But when I was going through that, I was explaining it to Ben, and the doctor ended up giving me anti-anxiety pills. And he's like, why do you have anxiety? And so from his perspective, he sees me from the outside, like, you're an artist. You can do whatever the frick you want. You can wake up when you want. You can do this and this and this. But there's still, like, there's my personality is there is constant anxiety. And it's now only after a month or so on those pills that I finally feel what it's not like to have the butterflies constantly in my stomach.
Yeah, right.
And, oh, I feel you. I've been
there. Yeah, exactly. And I think artists, we do have not like mental issues or whatever, but I feel like as creatives, we think different, we feel different, and that's what drives us to be creative and to put our emotions through something.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I feel like a lot of artists do paint through their pain, yeah, which is good. I think that's a great.
No, it's a way. I mean, it's like going to counseling, you know, yeah, it's a good way to, you know, release some of those thoughts.
Right.
And mm-hmm, such.
I think it's a great way to, and I mean, I think a lot of the old masters did that.
Yes.
I mean, they were, yeah, like, there were a few that were just exactly very much mentally ill. Well, and they ended up, I mean, no.
Well, I don't know. It's all about perspective. Because if you look at Van Gogh in his letters and stuff, he admitted to being like depressed. He went to the
song. Right.
So kind of FYI, guys, we are in historical low mill. There is don't lots of people it walking around. You're going to hear, right, us. Like, we've got a whole kid camp looking in at us right now doing this recording. So, but anyway, but when you look at Van Gogh and like his perspective of all the letters that he wrote, those were very personal letters that got published.
Yeah.
If somebody were to take my personal diary, they would be like, oh my God, she's a freaking hot mess.
Right.
Because I write letters to God or letters to universe, whatever you want to do it. And it's always, I need help. Right. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But I, you know, and it's just, I think it's perspective. I always wonder, like, where are they actually in? Insane. Da Vinci, you read some of his stuff, and that guy, he seems to be like an introvert narcissist type, yeah, of guy.
Yeah.
And a wee bit bonkers.
Right.
And maybe on the autistic scale.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like he was like this high functioning, I mean, he was genius.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of geniuses come with issues.
Well, so, and you I look at Einstein, right, too.
Yeah,
you
Einstein
get the same thing, you know? Like, he was definitely out there and on a different plane and level mentally as well as smarts. I can't think of the word.
Smarts.
So getting
intelligence, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah,
but getting back to, yeah, why we as women don't share our quote unquote conceived weaknesses. Is it because we feel like men have an easier time in the art world? And I'm prefacing that because I believe that to be true.
I do believe that to be true.
Yeah.
I think, you know, women, we are hard on each other. And I think we three are very, very fortunate to be able to talk about these types of things. And men, they don't have this. You look at the hormone levels. Hormones are hormones. Women's hormones will fluctuate every single day, every single hour.
Yes.
Well, and there's a big shift every 7 years.
Yes.
In your body.
Yes. And men, they're just kind of like walking the happy earth. I don't know. with basically.
Well, and men aren't as emotional.
Yeah.
As women are by nature, too.
Yeah.
You know, they're not as. I don't necessarily want to use the word emotional. They're not as sensitive.
Yeah.
As women are.
Well, and I look at my husband and other men, and a lot of the, if you read about men in the history and their art careers and stuff, they had strong women behind them to support and do everything that they want to do. They right. basically married their mother.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And we don't have that.
No.
You know?
Again, though, you look back at the old masters, like men were.
Yep.
Men were taking the classes and learning how to do art. Women were just the studies. I mean, like you grow up learning that, you know, you can't just be an artist. You have to be the wife and raise the kids right. and everything.
Right.
The men could go out. And I feel like women artists today, even though we have it like a million times better.
Right. We really do. Yeah.
It's still that imposter syndrome, like I'm putting it out there, but am I worthy of it? Blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And I think that it helps to find your tribe. We've talked about that. And to find, like us, someone you trust that you can depend on and actually speak to them and talk about like what you're going through. Like,
right.
Okay, this week. Like Stephanie did. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I'm feeling this, but I am feeling like crap.
Right.
And I'm just going to sit here for a minute. And, you know, that's what you did. You were like, be you, girl. Here's what I suggest, maybe. Or even if that didn't work.
Right.
You know, you didn't have to supply any kind of whatever. You just need support and go, it's okay to feel like crap every now and again.
Right.
Paint through it. Photographed or whatever. When I took photography in college, the photographer said, always keep your camera with you and take a picture when you feel good, when you feel bad, when you're sick, when you're healthy, when you're happy, when it's sunny, when it's raining, like just take pictures. Yeah. And I've kind of always had that in my head. Like that's the way to live life, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. keep going no matter what.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the things I just, you know, when I was writing in my little journal thing, it's just keep moving forward. Keep moving forward was what I actually wrote from the movie Meet the Robinsons. It's an animated movie. And I was like, oh, this came That's at okay. a really good time.
Yeah. Just keep swimming.
Yeah, I know. Right. Dory.
Dory.
But it's I also kind of wonder, you know, kind of get it back to the women. It's hard to talk about this stuff, not only with your good female friends, but your spouses.
Yes.
They don't really, all three of us have engineering type husbands, and yes, it's very logical.
They don't understand.
And they don't understand.
They don't understand.
They worry about us.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, and the thing is, like right now, the way things are going, our husbands are way overworked.
Yes.
Way overstressed. Mm-hmm. You know, I know for me, I don't want to add to that.
Right.
Stress.
That's another thing. Yeah.
That's true.
Definitely. Do you know what I mean?
Yep. Like
they don't want to give them another thing to worry about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. When, you know, that they have contracts coming up or proposals due and this due and testing and whatever, maybe traveling. And
right.
you don't want them to give them something else to worry about. And that's another reason why we don't talk.
I think so.
We yeah. internalize so much as women.
Well, that yeah. was one of the things as a military wife, when Ben was deployed
gosh,
to Afghanistan,
yes.
and they actually encourage women to stay at home and take care of everything at home instead of working, and they pay the guys really well to be in those danger zones. But the whole concept behind that is to, when the man or whoever's deployed to those danger zones, they know that everything's being taken care of so they can focus on their job there. Mm-hmm. So as a woman in that type of thing, and we were given like resources to be able to talk to like therapists if we needed to and all these other resources, but you didn't want to bring those worries on those phone calls with him.
Right.
And that kind of continues right. because like you were saying, they've got all these other worries, but you know, we as women, we need somebody to talk to.
Yes, we do. Definitely.
And I think that's why you should find artist groups.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And a safe place for you to share. And I think that's, I mean, we've talked about all these reasons why we don't talk, but why are some reasons why we do need to talk?
it helps. Like just breaking down in front of Julie, I didn't need to probably take it that far, but I couldn't help it.
It just happened.
But having that short discussion with her, and she brought up hormones, and I might be perimenopausal, and I can go to the doctor, ask, and she told me ask specifically for this hormone panel test. And yeah. So when I went in, I did ask for that specifically, and I talked to the doctor about what's going on, and you know, she asked me, have you thought of killing yourself or harming yourself? And I had visions of actually doing that. And I'm like, I won't do it, but I've had visions of it. And I was like, I know it doesn't make any sense. And so we got the blood panel and everything, but she would not let me walk out. I had a female doctor too. And she listened so well. Like there was a reason why she was late to my appointment, because she listens.
Yeah.
But we had that conversation. And she wouldn't let me out of there until I got on some sort of anti-anxiety, because she had me take the test. Is it depressant or depressing or
depression? Or
thank you.
Yeah.
Or anxiety.
Or right. Anxiety. And I leaned more on the anxiety. And then she had me come back in, and it was just amazing difference. I noticed the difference within the first 2 weeks. And it turned out my hormone levels were normal. Like I'm not perimenopausal, but had I not had that conversation, mm-hmm. I didn't even know perimenopausal was a thing.
It is.
No, it is.
Yeah.
And it's, you talk to your doctor. That's another reason. Mm-hmm. And you feel better. You mm-hmm. feel better once you talk to someone. Yes.
And I wanted a woman. I specifically looked for a woman doctor because they do listen.
They do. They understand, because
from a woman's perspective.
Right.
Even
right.
if they aren't going through it or haven't yet, they're going to. So they understand these thought processes that happen. And a lot of that, you know, happens even before you're perimenopausal.
And I just think that having that truth out there and to be able to talk to someone, even if it may be us, leaving us a message on our, you know, Facebook page or direct messaging us, but just know that, you know, you're not alone out there. It's not like you're suicidal or anything, but women need to be able to speak up and like you were saying mm-hmm. there with your group in Spain, it's like all of them had the same experiences.
Yeah.
Right.
It's interesting.
I know. It's
and they were from all over the world, not just, you know.
Right. Not just Huntsville, Alabama or the U.S. Or, right. You know. Right.
And yeah. it's really nice that you were able to build another little group mm-hmm. of women who were like supporting each other.
Yes.
And I think that's what needs to really happen instead of tearing each other down. And
well, I'm curious. Okay. So we all have girls. We all mm-hmm. have children that are girls. What do we need to do to help them communicate with us or learn how to communicate with others? Because I know I don't do that.
I just ask my girls all the time, what are you feeling? Are you, you know, are you on your period? Are you, you know, well, I only have one that's there, but you know, I ask point blank because she's not going to tell me.
Oh yeah. My daughter's older. Mm-hmm. And is already in the workforce and married and stuff. And I was way up front with her. I'm like, this is crazy. This is a crazy time of the mm-hmm. month for mm-hmm. you. Here's chocolate. you'll hate everything. You'll hate everybody. It's just normal. Yeah. It's normal.
Right. Yeah. And that's really what the conversation is.
You know what I mean? Like I had to explain to her. And then the other thing is mine was always born with like a voice. Uh-huh. And it was one of those where you have to say your truth with kindness. Ooh. You know, don't be quite so bold, you know, and you have to kind of temper it back a little bit. But I would rather do that with her mm-hmm. than her not tell me anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And mine doesn't like to tell me anything. So I have to butt in and, you know,
and there'll be a time where they won't. Because in that teenage years, mm-hmm. they don't really. And they're like, Mom.
Right. That's
and I'm rolling my eyes as I do that. Mom. You know, yep. You get that.
Yep. So, that's where I'm at.
I just want to be alone. Just leave me alone. And but right. now she knows that mm-hmm. she can come to me. And she does.
Yeah.
Well, and I will say it's interesting right now because there's so much talk about being open and all these different lifestyles and different thoughts and feelings that I have noticed with my my girl that is a teenager, that she is much more understanding. So like, she'll break down and cry. And I'm like, why are you crying? You need to have her, because I'm not a big crier. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I don't have any reason to cry. I'm just crying. And I'm like, and she's like, Mom, it's okay to just cry, just to cry. And so I think they have a little bit of a different perspective than what we did growing up, or at least I did growing up. And that it's okay to show that emotional side, and they don't see it as a weakness. They see it as a positive.
But see, you grew up very independent.
Well, I did. And I had a very strong mother
who, and you and wanted I to be a strong.
Yeah. And she grew up. And she was one fighting discrimination and women's rights and all those things.
So in the workplace and a lot everywhere.
Right. And I was told, you know, because she was told, you don't cry at work. Like,
whatever you do,
you look at the lights if you're going to cry. You look up, you look at the lights, stare at them. Do not cry. Never show your weakness.
That's exactly what I was told. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think.
See that?
And that has a lot to do. Mm-hmm. And we're going 180 from that. And I've noticed that my middle daughter, you know, my middle child, she sees that.
Right.
You know, and there's obviously been conversation there.
Well, I mean, like, again, though, why were you made to cry at work? Like, was the person being misogynistic? Was he yelling at you? Was he being unprofessional? Because usually it was a man.
Yep.
Or another woman. You know, it could be, I don't know, you know, like, you have to be professional in the work environment to continue to have a professional environment. So if someone's making you want to cry or whatever, that's, but it's funny is that I have a friend that has a whiteboard on her desk, a little one. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's been 3 days since this person has cried, or it's been, and then she's erased it and it's like zero. You know, like, she changes it every week.
Oh, wow.
So again, it's like, stress.
Yeah. Stress.
And coming out of a pandemic event like this, you can't expect perfection, I guess.
I am so sick of the repercussions from this stupid pandemic. I am so sick of it.
Oh, that's.
So
that's part of the anxiety, I can say, right?
Yeah, it is.
It is.
Yeah.
So I think there are a lot of good reasons to be open with your feelings and emotions. Allow them to come on out in your artwork or your creativity.
I think it's interesting.
Use it. And I think that helps in a healing process.
It does. And I think it's interesting, like, the last several episodes that we've had, where we've talked a lot about how open should you be? How much should you reveal on your Instagram? How much should you talk about? There's all this shoulds.
Right.
If you want to, freaking do it.
Yeah, if you don't want to, though, don't.
Right.
Exactly.
It's your life. You. You've got one life.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be true to you.
Awesome. Well, until next time, guys.
Thanks for listening to Artists Soar,
a podcast for artists by artists. And if you have any questions, feel free to email us at hello@artistssoar.com.
And be sure to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts so that you can get more of us, and we can bring in some sponsors to help you and help us.